Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast has just got its very first sponsor. The podcast is now proudly sponsored by MerchMonster.ie. On MerchMonster.ie, you can buy personalised hoodies, t-shirts, polo shirts, personalised snood face coverings, and a whole lot more. They've even got a product personaliser over on their website. Go over there and check it out now. They deal in one-off orders and also in bulk orders, class hoodies, team and work polo shirts, and everything else in between. Go over there and check them out now. It's MerchMonster.ie. Now let's get back to this week's show.
Hello and welcome to episode 58 of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. I'm joined once again by Sean Smith of Tortoise Arsefields and the Tracy of Tumi Vara. You're very welcome, lads.
Well, Mike.
So, lads, this weekend, big weekend in County Championship hurling in Tipperary. Round three of the County Championship goes ahead. If we dive straight into it, Sean Smith, we'll go to Tortoise straight away. Group one. Sayers are on top, two good wins. They have to play the Church this weekend, all rivals the Church. It's hard to see it going any other way than to Tortoise, but Tortoise still need to win, I suppose, to guarantee top spot, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. You want to get three wins, get a top position. And I know there's not many such things as a favourable draw in Senior A, but you know, there's a bit of a chance on finishing top. But hard to know, short draws gives a game. Play them in Senior B. And play them in the mid, like, you know, so we know what they're about, they know what we're about. So they've had a good result so far in that group as well. They kind of the upset drum there. So someone would call upset, I call an upset, and you know, I would have fancied drum to beat him, but it is an interesting group, you know, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. It was James Barry made his return there in the last game, come on as a sub against Drummond Inch, and it was great to see. Great to see James back on the hurling field in the black and amber. But will they have enough, do you think, for the Sayers? I know that you said it's a kind of a mid-derby, but the way the Sayers are playing, they've started like a train, I suppose, don't kind of went through the mid-championship without anyone really laying a glove on them, and so far have been at their ease in this group.
It'd be interesting with a team kind of adapt different approach, maybe. Sayers are starting very strong in games, but teams, if they can hold Sayers in the first 5-10 minutes, like, we'd be kind of looking at each other, maybe going, that didn't work. What's kind of the next kind of plan, you'd say? But, like, they have every opportunity to kind of devise a plan and get the win. But it'll be always, like, the main thing is, if we can get ahead, what we've seen so far, we kind of hold on. But not to say that Upchurch won't start out of the blocks this weekend.
Yeah, I suppose Church could win and still not qualify with the way the group is going, because it's quite a tight enough group at the other end. Airog and Drum now have to play. If Airog win, they will go through with the Sayers. If Drum win, Airog could be in relegation, and that's after the great start against Upper Church. So as a group, it's really tight, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Like, there's permutations there. Basically, we win, we're through. Airog, if Airog can win, they're through. But then could have been a situation where Drum at the moment are bottom of the table and get through, you know. So it's crazy, like, when you think about, like, what could happen. Yeah. Well, it needs one good game and you're in a county quarterfinal as a Premier League, which is kind of strange the way Drum's year went so far. They'd take your hand off that, to be honest.
Yeah, so yeah, all to play for in the two games there in Group 1. So the fixtures for that this weekend are Tortoise and Upper Church is in Templemore on 25th, which is Saturday at 5 o'clock, yeah. And Drum and Anika Erogan and Carthy is in Cashel at 5 o'clock at the same time. So both games are going to hit at the same time.
Yeah, and the Saturday game is actually live on the TIP website as well, you know. So so it'll be interesting. Maybe if lads want to watch that and keep playing the Drum game, how that is going. Score difference could come into play there as well. So it'll be interesting. They're both at the same time as well.
Yeah, sure will. So moving on to group two, Enda Tracy, your own native to Mivera, are top in that group at the moment, 2 wins from 2. Clonoulty and Mulnahone have won a game each, so they're both on 2 points, and Holy Cross on 0. So Toome are up against Mulnahone this weekend. It's the way Toome are playing. Should they come out of that one?
Yeah, I think we'd be confident that we should be. If you were looking at the group before the matches, before any balls were thrown in, you'd have been saying that Mulnahone, not that they're the soft touch, but they'd probably be the game you'd be marking that you're probably going to win. We've 2 wins got now. Look, there hasn't been 10 out of 10 performances in any of the matches. It's kind of been a mixed bag. Good stretches in the games, but then letting the other team back into it. Look at the last day. We were easily better than Clonoulty in the second half in particular, and shouldn't have been a point in it, and they had a chance to equalise. So something we're going to have to work on. But look, sure, we were expecting to beat Mulnahone. We played them 2 years ago in a preliminary quarter final down in Cashel, and it was pure robbery. We bet on that day. I don't know how we managed it. We were getting bet easily in normal time. We nicked extra time, and Mark McCarthy did the business in added time. So look, the lads will know that Mulnahone are a hard team to beat. No matter how low and ebb they're at, they're always battling, and they're always going to put in a big effort. And with the son of God there, with a few extra pounds still piled on, he's still doing the business for him. So it'll be a good excuse just to see him in the flesh again, anyway.
Yeah, the other game in that group is Clonoulty and neighbours Holy Cross. Again, this group again is very tight. And if Holy Cross win by 6, they probably qualify. If Clonoulty can avoid, I suppose, if they lose, but lose by less than 6, they'd probably qualify. So it's a very tight group, isn't it?
Yes, all the onus is on Mulnahone and Holy Cross to come out. Mm-hmm. Not just win, but to have to win by a good few points to make sure of it. And Holy Cross, look, they're not hurling well. They're really missing Brian O'Meara in a big way there. A lot of young players that haven't... Look, it's going to take them a while to bid in, but they haven't come up to the level yet. And Clonoulty, all the same, are there for the taking. They're not the Clonoulty of a couple of years ago. Especially in the last game, and the Hammersleys and Dylan Quirk, they're not at the level they were when they won the county final a few years ago. I think that's fair enough to say. And look, they probably should have a bit more than Holy Cross in the forward division on the day. But look, anything can happen. We've seen Holy Cross last year when they were beaten in the first game against Nina. Mountain give good performances when people weren't expecting them. So
yeah, they actually drew with Clonoulty in the last game of they were together last year in the same group, and they drew I think it was like 2-15 or 3-15 apiece. Yeah. I think it was in Borland again. So that was quite
good. They're near neighbours, aren't they? So that they, you know, that can pep up any team thought of getting bet by lads next door to you.
Yeah.
That can give you an extra gear. So look, I'd imagine Clonoulty might sneak it, but Holy Cross could have something to say about that.
Yeah, so Clonoulty, of course, they will, if they fail to qualify, I suppose they will have a preliminary quarterfinal that they can fall back on. And Mulnahone are in the same boat, aren't they? They can fall back on a preliminary quarterfinal too.
They can, yeah, but you want to be winning matches, don't you? You don't want to be in the habit of losing them, especially coming down to the business end of it now. Like you we could qualify even if we get bet to Mulnahone, but you know, you want to be going in there with that winning momentum after doing all the hard work in the first 2 games. You want to be going in there with confidence and not have any question marks hanging over the team. Look, it's nice to have it there, but you know, you want to be getting there on your own merits rather than a system that's up in the air between, you know, should it be there and shouldn't it be there. So they'll want to win. They won't want to be relying on the preliminary.
Yeah, absolutely. So the 2 games in that group go ahead at half one on Saturday. You must have some serious pull inside in Turles, Enda Tracy. This is Toome's third game in the stadium. So Toome and Mulnahone half one in the stadium on Saturday, and Clonoulty and Holy Cross half one on Saturday in Borlaghan.
And they say Turles has a pull to play in the stadium the whole time. Fuck off.
Sean, we'll go back to you there for group three. Champions, 2020 champions Kildangan, they topped that group 2-2. Loughmore and the Brackens on two points each with a game won, and Mycarthy on the bottom. So Loughmore and the Brackens, that'll be a tasty affair. Brackens seem to have turned their season round following that first round defeat in the mid.
Yeah, they have, and like another interesting thing, they're like all the groups have a team on 4 points, two teams on 2 points, and team on zero. Like, so it's crazy how, but everyone is still something to play for. Like, Brackens have to come on from the performance they gave earlier on the year against Loughmore, and they're capable of a performance, to be honest. There's no reason why they can't win that game. But also then Loughmore, and you never write them off at the end of the day, to be honest. Like, it's similar to other groups where kind of winner takes all there and need that game. You presume Kildangan will have enough anyway from Mycarthy in the final game and keep their kind of momentum going. They're a team that want to keep winning like ourselves and just want to keep motoring on, secure top spot. But Bracken Loughmore will be very interesting, to be fair.
Yeah, it's a season ending for either Loughmore or Brackens. That's on the 24th, which is tomorrow night. Friday at 7:30 in the stadium. That's live on Tip TV, being streamed, isn't it?
It is
the makings of a cracker. I mean, you've got county players on both sides. And we had that wonderful performance, was it from Shane Doyle the last day, scoring 4 sidelines in a game. So Brackens have really, they're playing well this in the county series.
Yeah, they'll be on a high after last day as well, to be fair. Like, they have the players capable of it. Like, today in the middle against Loughmore, they just never fired. There's no two ways about it. It was just a bad performance that day. Like, you know, you can't be talking about it any other way. But Brackens are capable of, they put it up to Kildangan, like, they only lost by 2 points in the end, which was scoring 121. You know, it's a fair scoring against a team of Kildangan's caliber. And if Brackens can get up around that air scoring bracket again, there's no reason why they can't win this match.
Yeah, absolutely. So those two games, Brackens and Loughmore, is on in the stadium on Friday evening at 7:30. And Kildangan and Mycarthy is on the 26th, which is Sunday at 3:00. And that game is in Templemore. We move to group four, which is the All North affair. So Killaran are in top in that group, 2-2. Where Slee and Nina have a win each, and Ros Gray are in the bottom. Boris Lee square off against Nina, similar to the game in the previous group. This is a winner takes all. One team is going home with their tail between their legs if they don't win this one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute cracker. It has to be the pick of the weekend matches. You'd have fancied the two teams to come out first and second. I think I definitely had them earmarked for first and second out of the group prior to the championship starting. And, you know, Nina just haven't shown any sort of form that had them beaten Turles last year or getting to county finals the last few years. They're missing Derek Quinn, was playing the last day, but he had to go off after the first water break, and without him there, they really don't have the solidity there in the full back line, because they started Barry in the first game full back, but Robin Peter to pay Paul there, because his best position is out in the half back line there, centre back. So they're not scoring too badly, but they're leaking far too many scores. They've like 26 points in the last two matches, and you know, that's heavy totals to be trying to reel back in. And it's not going to get any easier, because Boris Lee have a serious forward division there with the addition of Eddie Ryan to whoever's there already, the Kennys, J.D. Devaney, Jerry Kelly. So, you know, it's not going to be any easier for him. So, Dan McCormack, by all accounts, just suffered a very bad dead leg the last day, so he should be okay to play. So they'll probably be at full strength.
Yeah, Ray McCormack is someone who's really standing out for Bursley this year, isn't he? He's kind of stepped up his game. He had played well the year they won the county at wing back, but he's kind of out around the middle of the field now and seems to be kind of a very important player for them.
Yeah, he's turned into a fair unit there. He's probably bigger than Dan at this stage, and he has an engine to go with it like Dan. So you'd be probably, if he stays going the way he's going, you'll probably be getting a look in with Colin Bonner there inside in the tip train. And so look, Boris have a very good team on paper for whatever reason. They haven't played particularly well, especially last day against Killer One. They were kind of just hanging in there. I think Killer One were easily the better team on the day. But like, if they turn it on, they could be very hard to beat. So I think Mina just have too many frailties at the back at the minute. I think they're just patching it up there. And or is probably to have too many scorers around the park for Metza.
Yeah, and in the last game, now, I suppose not to be too condescending to Ross Gray, but Ross Gray did get 26 points against Nina. I suppose Ross Gray would have been disappointed with their first game. They only got 15 points against Forest Lee. But like they would say, they outscored Nina 26 scores to 24. So obviously Ross Gray are a decent enough side as well. Would that be more that Nina weren't up to scratch? And like looking at their play, it was kind of the Heffernans again, wasn't it? Mikey and Tommy that were doing the scoring, and we didn't see too much of Jake, which we, I suppose, from a county point of view, would be hoping to see more of him in the scoring charts.
Yeah, well, I think he knocked over 3 or 4 points, but I know what you mean. He's not leading the line really. He's still a young lad, I suppose, but at club level, he's on the county panel the last three years now. So like you'd be expecting him to be leading the line there well for his club. Look, Mikey Heffernan is still the main guy there. Like, he's on midfield. He's still their main player. If they were missing him, they'd be in big bother. But look, there's been the same all heads there for a long time. For a team that is probably getting a bit on in terms of being up there challenging for a county title. Now, I've heard rumours actually that Hugh Maloney might be coming back for it, but that could be only a rumour. But
yeah.
Look, you'd fancy Burris. They're probably all around a stronger team at the minute. You can't rule Nina out. They always have that one big performance, but they really have the backs against the wall, and Burris will probably be too good for them on the day.
Yeah.
And that Burris Lee and Nina game is actually on TG4 on Sunday as well.
It's
a good draw, you know, it could showcase our club game there, and it should be a crack, right? Fair.
Yeah, and could the other game in that group is Killaran and Ross Gray. Killaran have, I suppose, We can't say they're surprised, but I mean, they've put two very good performances together, scoring 126, 224. So they're putting up big scores, and they're looking odds on to top that group on full points, aren't they?
I think they've topped it already. I think on the head to head.
Yeah, on the head to head, they'll have topped it, but on full points.
You'd imagine so, but they will be missing. Look, Niall O'Mara looks like he picked up a fair injury there the last day. He was hobbling off really badly. So he'll probably be missing whether he's ready to hurl or not with the top spot secured. And Keane Darcy got straight red the last day, so he's missing. So might be a window for Ross Gray to win it. And maybe they could do a bit of momentum going into the relegation. But you'd say the confidence is probably with Killer on there at the minute. You know, Jerome Cahill and Keane O'Kelly are hurling right well. Thomas Cleary. Seamus Hennessy is like a young lad again, up full forward, doing the business for him. So, they'll, like I said earlier, they'll want to keep up the winning momentum going into a quarter final. And Ross Gray, I think Ross Gray are just looking, they're going to need a performance anyway. They don't want to be getting wiped out going into a relegation scrap. But it could probably be tight enough, but I'd say Killarod might sneak over the line.
Yeah. So the two games in that group, as Sean said, Borsaline, Nina is quarter to four, throwing on Sunday the 26th, it's on in the stadium and it's live on TG4. And the other game is Killaran and Ross Gray. That's on Sunday the 26th at 5 o'clock, and that game is in Tuamhle Mhara. So just we'll move on to Seamus O'Rean. Seamus O'Rean Group One is Sean again, the Sars, and Sars second team absolutely flying, as we've discussed previously, and they are 2 wins from 2 and 4 points. Killadangan and Swan have a win each, and Burgess are bottom, and Burgess are in relegation, I believe. They can't get out of it. It's a tough group again, isn't it, James Reen? You're flying it.
Yeah, the table, if you looked at the start here, you actually say it's upside down at the moment. Burgess, Swan, Killadangan, Sars, you know, that kind of way, the way we're talking. With 2 second teams, but our players, young lads, came in, they heard well, and you know, like, again, they've nothing to lose, and they're fighting for spots on the senior A team. It's a stepping stone, especially with when you see some of our lads now that are playing senior A, David Corbin and Shawnee Butler, and these lads have stepped up that are playing maybe senior B and intermediate, you know, so they can see what they can produce if they do step up. But to be interesting, like, Burge disappointed with how it went there when at the start of the year, getting the group. They would have been expecting maybe to go better than they did, but whatever's gone up there, I'm not sure. This weekend again, we'll hopefully get the winning way still going. Playing Burgess, you know, like, so what will they do? They might go out and just try and give a good performance, anyway, is what they want to do for sure. Going into relegation battle, but we'll be up for trying to top the group as well for sure.
Yeah.
And Swans have turned around a bit, to be honest, since they're on the, when they played out the first day, and that says Kalang will be interesting. I fancy Swans in that, to be fair.
Yeah, well, you're top of the group anyway, regardless of what happens. Yeah, Kildangan and the Swan, then that's obviously a knockout game there. And as you said, Swan had a good win in the second round and came from behind, I think, to beat Burgess. Looked like they were going to be in a lot of trouble. But just a word on Burgess, Sean. Airoge relegated them from Dan Breen in the final last year. And they're into another relegation. Is it a free fall? Is everything kind of rolling into each other now with Burgess? And like that whole thing of being too good to go down, is that something that we should be saying here about Burgess?
You know, the name-wise, like the North team is all considered strong and it should be seen. But like I've seen over the years, once teams start dropping down the grades, they can fall very quickly. And Borland the mid dropped down, but since they've come back up again, you know, they've redeveloped outside. They've got an rate structure and good facilities and they've came back up, but they went down quickly the same kind of way. Like Burgess, if they go down this year, it's a long way back to senior A, to be honest. With the intermediate being so competitive, and we'll maybe next year the intermediate could be junior grade and senior B could be intermediate down the line, you know, so it is a long, long way back. But they're very disappointed, but all clubs camera group and it's got to look at clubs that went down previously and they've come back up, and you know, there is ways to come back up. It's not all to be all end all of being up there for competing at the good grade, but the one team that, to be fair, my son draw in that group was like a good North team. You know, they're reliable. Would have fancied them to come top, but now they're facing relegation.
Yeah,
it just goes to show how the smaller clubs can be hampered by one player getting injured, like Stephen Murray. Wasn't right coming on against Turles the first day. And he's still not right, really. He's 90% of their scores. Like, they need Stephen Murray fit to be competitive. They just can't do without those types of players. And he's a very good player, in fairness. A player of his calibre, you'd miss him big time.
Yeah, and we've the likes of Lark Harbour could even feature this again for us now as well. So, you know, like he hasn't played yet, so he might be back around this again and fit to go. So, if you got a couple of minutes, he'd be a good addition in the knockout stage, to be honest.
So,
a couple of minutes for former hurler of the year under second team.
I think is that the name of the podcast, Return of Larry? I think your podcast exclusive, Corbin. So the two games in that group are the Swan and Kildangan, which is, I suppose, the real important game in that group. That goes ahead Saturday at 1:30 in Dereg, and Burgess and Turles Sarsfield's B team is in Dalla, and that's on Sunday at 3:00. In there, we'll go on to group two of the Seamus Arine. And in that group, Temple Derry are the top team there. They're two wins from 2 on 4 points. Newport have a win and a loss there on 2, and Clonakenny and the Mines are on 1. So everyone has something to play for in this one. We go to the Mines and Temple Derry. I suppose that's a local derby, and it'll be an interesting game, won't it?
It will be interesting, yeah. We've had examples there over the last few years where Temple Derry have been flying and the Mines have been playing very poor, and then they meet up. And the Mines, it actually happened a couple of years ago. We beat the Mines fairly well in an R Championship match, and we were playing Temple Derry in their county group. And nobody gave them a hope. But whatever, the sight of that green jersey drives them absolutely mad. And they absolutely wiped the floor with Temple Derry in the game. So, look, form goes out the window when those two teams meet, to be honest. And it's probably a fixture that Silver Mines need to get the ante up, because they've been very poor. Outside of Jason, they're really struggling there, and they look to be a good candidate for a relegation scrap. So, look, it'll give them motivation that they need to maybe try and get out of it. But Temple Derry are hurling really well. Like, Sean Ryan is going to town there full form. And, you know, they have players all over the pitch. The Murrays and the Ryans, Stapletons, although Brian has a bad injury by all accounts, so he looks like he'll be missing. But those matches are always good. They're always good to watch.
Yeah, and just while you're mentioning it, that Temple Derry Mines game will have probably the two of the top forwards in Seamus Arine in Shawnee Ryan and Jason Ford. And I suppose we must credit Hurler in the Ditch here for his scores from play matrix that he has up on his Twitter page, because it's excellent. But Johnny Ryan has scored 4-7 from play, and Jason Ford has scored 2-6 from play. Two real sharpshooters.
unbelievable. Look, we know what Jason's going to give you every day he goes out. He's one of the best forwards in the country, if we're being realistic. Shawny Ryan, like, he's a lad you wouldn't have even earmarked as a forward maybe in years gone by when he was underage. Really good player. I think he started in the backs for Temple Derry originally when he came on the scene first.
Did he come on for the 20s 2 years ago at cornerback as well, I think?
Yeah. So, like, he's playing unreal stuff for a lad that isn't a traditional forward, like, from underage. So, I think he played in the backs for Temple Moore as well, I think, school. So, look, he just looks, he's an athlete. Like, he's out in front and his first touch is unbelievable. And he's got a real eye for a score. Like, so he's doing serious damage. And in fairness, the ball they're playing into him is perfect as well. They're isolating him in there. And he's not wasting a single one of them. So,
yeah,
it'll be hard to handle for Silvermines.
Yeah, and the other game then is Clonakenny and Newport. And Newport, we spoke about before, I suppose before it even started, we were maybe talking about them being in the top four, and they took a trimming off of Temple Derry in game one. But then they came back and they actually handed out a hiding to the Mines in round two. So it's going to be hard to judge. And Clonakenny themselves haven't been going too bad. I mean, they drew with the Mines first day out. So it's a tough group to call, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Look, Clonakenny are kind of solid. They're kind of used to this grade at this stage. They're in it for the last few years and they've been steady. For Newport, I think the result the first day was more of the Sean Ryan factor. He was after coming off a big performance against Ross Gray, and I think Audrey Floyd was on him and he just took him to town a few goals early, and it kind of killed the Newport confidence. They're better than what they showed that day, definitely. Like, they have some serious pace up in that forward line, Pat Ryan and Colin Floyd, and you know, they have some good other hurlers as well, Audrey Floyd and Keane Flanagan and, you know, Conor O'Mahony, their centre back. So they're a decent side at this level, and I'd be very surprised if they didn't do the business against Clonakenny. While for Clonakenny, I think they'll be hoping that Temple Derry can do them a favour and keep them out of the relegation.
Yeah. Temple Derry are true in that group, and it's just one from the other three. But obviously a win for Newport will send them through as well. So those games go ahead. Both of them are on Saturday at 5:00. Clonakenny and Newport is in Nenagh, and Silvermines and Temple Derry is in Tuamhe Mhéara. And we go on to Group 3 of the Seamus O'Regan. And that sees Gort na hÉireann, the surprise packet, I would say, of the Seamus O'Regan, are on top with 2 wins from 2. Killinall have 1 win and a draw. The Tracys have a draw, and Ballina prop up that table on 0 points. So this weekend's game sees Ballina and the Tracys go at it. That's in Newport. Sean, I suppose I would have tipped the Tracys. I thought they were a good team at the start, and now they're in, a relegation, potential relegation game put them into relegation with Ballina. And Ballina are no bad side themselves.
No, I think we're discussing this group. They were on the air when the draws were made. We're saying to be a hard group to call, and Gort na hÉireann were doing well if they could stay in it, like, you know. But now at the moment, they're top there and they're cruising. They're scoring 4 goals in each of their games, like, which is, you know, that's, if you can do that, you're going to win most games, to be honest. And it's, like you said, Trace, at this point now, they're scrapping out Ballina, and you don't want to go into scraps of Ballina for sure in a game that Blues could be in a relegation battle.
Yeah, and the other game in that group then is Gort na hÉireann and Killinall, and this is for top spot. Tough, yeah. Killinall puts them top, and we spoke about near neighbours, like, sure, they're practically on top of each other, even though they're in two different divisions. So there'll be no love lost there between the two of them. Gort na hÉireann won't be given letting Killinall away with it easy.
No, for sure, because Gort na hÉireann already, they're through anyway, you know, so the result won't matter, so they can go out and play a bit more freedom and continue on they've been playing so far. Like, you know, it is new ground for them, and like what they've done over the last number of years, they're kind of on a surprise package to O'Regan so far, I think, anyway, from what we've seen, kind of the highlights and the scores they're putting up.
Yeah, and they came up from intermediate last year, and I suppose, I don't think at the start of the year many people would have been tipping them, but their best player probably last year was Keane Hayes, and he's not even playing with them this year. So they've obviously had some good talent coming through.
Yeah, they've been good work on Rage, and we were playing them intermediate in that over the years, and on Rage they were always thereabouts, like, you know, to be fair, and they've done a great development on their side as well. So these clubs are coming on, and they're putting in the works, and they're being rewarded now. That's what you like to see.
Yeah, absolutely. So the two games in that group, they both go ahead Sunday at 12:00.
Ballinan de Tracy's in Newport, and Gortnahoo and Killinall is in Littleton. As I said, Sunday at 12 for those two games. The last group in Seamus Oireen, another interesting group, sees Mary's on top, two wins from two. Cashel are second at the moment on score difference with, on the head-to-head over Portrode, themselves and Portrode of a game each. One and Laura prop up that table on 0 points. So this weekend, Cashel and Laura, they square off, and Mary's in Portrode. And I suppose Laura would, again, they were in the final of this competition last year, and now they're looking at being involved in the relegation. So it's not ideal for them, and coming up against a strong Cashel team.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for them to turn around the previous results. Look, they gotten ahead of steam last year, and the confidence built for them, and they were riding that wave for a lot of matches. I think, to be fair, there was a lot of surprise that they'd done so well, that they got so far. Like, you wouldn't have earmarked them last year to get to a final. So, look, they're missing Bonner this year, and maybe that stifled any momentum they could have picked up. Look, he's a massive player for Tip, let alone Laura. So, Cashel aren't... Look, on paper, they're a very strong team, but, you know, matches aren't won on paper, and the new lads going in there, you know, you have to... They're bringing in a lot of new players, and they have to get familiar with each other and new players that were already at the club. And it's not as easy as just throwing them in there, and they're going to be Harlem Globetrotters. They're poking balls over the bar from every angle. It's just not that easy, and teams aren't going to give them to them that easy. Yeah. I'd say I fancy that to be a tight enough match, but I'd say, look, Cashel will probably have too many scores at the end of the day. And look, I don't think Laura have the... have the confidence at the moment after the two previous games to cause an upset there.
Yeah, and Mary's and Portrode then is the other game. Mary's have won their two games and have played quite well in it. Seamus Kindy is playing full forward for them, and they have Peter McGarry there, the former county minor, and he was a 20 panellist this year, playing in the middle field and playing quite well for them. And then Port, who I suppose... They led for quite a while against Cashel before Cashel kind of took over that fourth quarter. But Portrode then had a good win, 218-19 over Laura in round two. So Portrode will see this as a game that they potentially could win. I would imagine they won't fear in St. Mary's at all when they go out to play them.
No, definitely not. They don't fear anyone when they go and play them. Like Laura, look, they got relegated there recently, but... they've got solid performance at this level, like the Kevin O'Halloran and Mark Jennery. They have the Ruin Mulrooney, John Sheedy. Like, these lads, they're good hurlers, you know, and they're used to playing good teams and playing at a high level. St. Mary's have serious confidence, obviously. Look, I don't know much about the Clonmel lads, but look, Seamus Kendi is obviously very good at this level, and Peter McGarry, as I said. But Portrode, they're cute, like, they've been around the block, this team. A lot of them have won a North final there, their first North final, so they know how to beat big teams and big matches. So I fancy them. I'd fancy Port in most of these matches, to be honest. They're very hard to beat. They're a dogged outfit, and I think they'll probably eke out a win in this one.
Yeah, so if Port and Cashel win, that looks like it could be a three-way tie at the top. So it'll come down to score difference, and at the moment Mary's are +7, Cashel are Portrode are +1, and Cashel are even. So, I mean, the scores in those games the winning margin in those games is going to be is vital, isn't it?
Yeah, there's going to be supporters on the phone looking to hear the results of the other matches, isn't it? That's probably the beauty of the way the games are laid out. So there's nobody knows what they have to do. But, you know, if the game was on earlier in the day and the other team gets the advantage, like, thank God that's not happening this year. So yeah, it makes it much better fair. You'd be interested to see the sideline there in the last 10 minutes in both matches, see the instructions been barked out and what's happening.
Yeah. So the both games in those group, they go ahead at 12 o'clock on Sunday. Cashel and Laura is in Moneygall, and St. Mary's and Portrode is in Borrisaleigh. So we'll move on to the most important championship in the whole of Tipperary, in the County Intermediate Hurling Championship. Group 1, the group of death.
Jeez, you're dead in a ray, aren't you?
The group of Kappa White death. That's what we call it. So, mine, 7-2, are top at the moment on that one, on score difference from Drum. Mine have 3 points. Drum have 3 points. Borussia Kane have 2. And Cappa White GA Club are bottom and the only team in relegation and out of everything in this competition. So on this weekend, on Sunday, we have Borussia Kane and Drum. Both teams have beaten Cappa, so no, a little bit too much about both of them. But Gary Ryan is actually playing very well for Borussia Kane at the moment, and so is Philip Austin. Both of them putting up good scores from play.
You're clever, Mike. You know what you're doing. He won the West, and he just said, we love dummy teams here now. We'll show not at all in the group, and then
you
bang.
You went on the piss for 2 weeks and said, yeah. Forget about these county matches. We'll
you know it. It's Cappa for the county.
I've
seen you sending in the pictures all them points, McCarthy. Don't even try.
Sean has said it, Cappa for the county, and that's the only way we can avoid the relegation battle now is by winning the county. yeah, so we've mine at the weekend. Mine, who are we going to say surprisingly failed to perform against Drum, Inda?
I wouldn't say surprisingly. I can't understand how Drum are so strong in the intermediate grade and then their senior team is so poor. It's kind of a contradiction, really, isn't it? I'm not surprised that... Well, I'm probably surprised they got a result, but I'm probably surprised that Mine didn't win the game. Yeah, Mine are flattering to deceive now. They've been kind of earmarked as favourites for the last few years at intermediate and haven't really produced the goods. Like, when you look at their team on paper, they're very strong, but probably very young at the same time, so it'll probably take them a while to get to their peak, but... You'd have been surprised with that result. You surely were surprised as well, Michael. Yeah.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I was. I was obviously very disappointed with the way we played in the first round against Drum. But as I said, we were 8 points up against them at half time, and I just didn't think they were playing well. And then to hear that they drew with Mine, who I suppose had a huge win over Borussia Kane in round one. It's just surprising. But then. At the same time, is it surprising? Mine have kind of flattered to deceive over the last number of years now. I don't think Garrod O'Connor has played yet in the championship. Conor Bowe has played both games, but I suppose when you're missing, as you said earlier on with Stephen Murray, Garrod O'Connor, while a young player, is still probably a very important player for Mine, and I suppose would take a lot of the... When him and Conor Bowe are both in the forwards, they take an awful lot of watching, whereas if one of them is missing, you really... Do you only have to watch one player then? You know, it's maybe they don't have enough around them enough help around them. But look, they will beat us this weekend. I would be very surprised. Look, I mean, it's a game. It's a game that means nothing to us. We'll be going out.
Yeah.
I suppose trying to get ready for a preliminary quarter final and maybe. A couple of guys are coming back from injury, getting game time into their legs and stuff. So I don't see how Mine would lose to us this weekend. The Drum and Borussia Kane game will be an interesting one. And I suppose we'll see what pedigree Drum actually have now in a very, very important tight game, kind of a winner takes all game.
What sort of team are Drum feeling there, Mike? Have a few of the Butlers playing or?
Yeah, and I think there's a guy called Paul Kindy playing corner forward who did a lot of damage against us. He seems to be, and he comes out and he takes any kind of freeze from probably their own 65 up, you know. And I'd say I wouldn't think they have many young players on it. I would say they're a very experienced side, and that's what's helping them late into games, especially in tight games, you know. Borussia Kane, they played very well in the North Final, didn't they, against Moneygall, put up a good score. And then last week against us, they scored four. They had 4 goals got in the first half. So they're a team that likes to go out and score goals.
That's for sure. Yeah.
So both those games go ahead at 5:30 on Sunday evening. Borussia Kane and Drum is in Dala, and Cappa White and Mine Temple Tuohy is in Clonoldy as 5:30 on Sunday. Group two in the intermediate championship sees. Kickham's top of the group, 2 wins from 2. They're on 4 points. Moneygall and Davins have a game won each. They're on 2, and Ballybacon are bottom. So Sean, Carrick, Davins and Kickham's will be an interesting game. Both teams, I suppose, need to win because score difference could come into the into the equation.
Yeah, it's the most fun game for Devon for sure, isn't it? Like to get into that qualification spot. Kikas want to win on air, so but like Devon's are capable of that, to be honest. They could come out and blitz them or come out and do well. They've done well in the first three games, if fair to another putting the scores in, but it's kind of another case of another group intermediate where it's too close to call there. Like Moneygall just go out and just do their thing and win. That's all they can do. Like, you know, and they probably have you'd say maybe the either draw of the lot then at the weekend against Ballybacon, who look like to be kind of set for relegation there stage. So
the Devons have put up, like, they're consistent in their scoring, 117 against Moneygall, 218 against Ballybacon. And we had spoken about that Ballybacon game as being probably one that was going to be very tight, but I think Devons were at their ease really in winning it. You know, they were never in trouble. They won a 218 to 113. Kickhams, who were behind 7 points to one then against Moneygall, came back and won it 318 to 313, which was a surprising result. Maybe Moneygall were celebrating the North like Kappa were still celebrating the West, maybe.
I seen that on Twitter, actually. Kind of surprising, I saw the result that Moneygall scored 313 after a good start. I was kind of going, what happened here? But, you know, like, you have to see out them games and knock a Villa top and deservingly so at the moment.
Yeah. Just on Moneygall, in the two young players playing for Moneygall, Sean Kennelly and Joe Fogarty, and both are in the top six players of the scoring from play in the championship. Sean Kennelly is 2.8 and Joe Fogarty is 3.2. Two very good players, aren't they?
Savage players, yeah. They're really important players for Moneygall already at such a young age. Like, I haven't seen him live yet now, but by all accounts, Sean Kennelly's a really good player at this level, and he's just got pace to burn, and I think they've been really going for the goal threat this year with him in the team. And Joe Fogarty, more so, he's a workhorse and he's a ball winner there as well, but he is able to score, so two very good players that they needed coming on board. Like,
yeah, and then Kickham's in that group then, of Davey Butler and Elliot Thompson, both of them are in the top of the scoring charts from play as well. David Butler is 2.8 and Elliot Thompson is 3.3. So, and there's some players in that intermediate period putting up some good scores. So that group, that's on 5 o'clock on Sunday evening. Both games, Ballybacon and Moneygall, is in Holy Cross, and the Devons and Knockavilla Kickhams is in Care as at 5 o'clock on Sunday. Group three of the intermediate championship. Sorry, no, just trying to get the fixtures here. So group three sees Kilsheelan, who have been playing very well. They're top of the table with 4 points, 2 wins. Borlaghan second at the moment with 2 points. Mile Rovers with 2 points. And Golden bottom of that, surprisingly, I would say bottom of that group on 0 points. So this weekend, we have Borlaghan and Golden, Sean. That'll be a good game. Golden, I would say, very disappointed with how they performed so far. And I would say Borlaghan maybe disappointed too. A very bad loss to Kilsheelan, which they probably weren't expecting, or I certainly wasn't expecting it. Anyway.
No, I didn't expect Borlaghan to score 13 points against Kilsheelan, no. But then back to Golden again. It started here, maybe saying Golden probably one of the better teams in this group, but now they're down the bottom, like many other teams. Kind of saying the same thing about most groups so far. It's kind of teams that are there, but to be honest, anyone that's in the qualifying position in groups deserves to be there. Borland this weekend against Golden, like, it's hard to know, like, Golden could pull out a result there, end up knocking Borland out then, or, you know, so it's a kind of another group where it's still a lot to play for there at the moment.
Yeah, Jack Leamy is actually out injured, I think, at the moment.
I'd be going Borland there then, if that's the case, then you'd be, because I saw him against yourselves now in the West Final, like, everything went through him, to be honest, he's an exceptional hurler, to be honest, to that level. He's capable of carrying a team himself, to be honest. So if he's missing, that's Boz and Borland's court now.
Yeah. And the other game in that group is top of the table from Chile against Mile Rovers and all South of Fair. Mile Rovers did very well, scored 18 points there against Golden in round two. In round one, they had lost by 7 to Borland. They'd only scored 2.8. I suppose signs were a little bit ominous. They were in the relegation final last year, but like, to come out and score 18 points was pretty good. I was at their football game the weekend, and there was a lot of the guys that were playing. They're a very fit team, as I suppose, as you would expect from a from a football team. But I mean, Kilsheelan are in the same boat. They both, they play senior football as well, and they have quite a good few hurlers. I mean, you two Mahers and the Kyos, and that they're all good hurlers.
Yeah, and like my role is kind of go out and get a result and get a win on the board, and hopefully that Borland don't get the win at that side because they lose the head to head there, you know. So
yeah,
all the teams can do is go out and win their own game and yeah, not worry about the other thing.
It's very tight on score, and Kilsheelan, they're okay there on plus 18. But I mean, Borland -4, Mile -5, and Golden are -9. So there's really nothing, you know, 2 or 3 points either way, and that whole placing can change very quickly.
Yep.
Yeah, so the two games in that group, they go ahead at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Borlaghan against Golden is in New Inn, and Kilsheelan versus Mile Rovers is in the Sportsfield in Clonmel, at their both games at 3 o'clock. And the last game, or the last group in intermediate, sees Ballingarry top of the table. They are on 3 points at the moment. Ballinahinch second on 3 points, and Shannon Rovers and Arval Rovers both on 1 point. So this is a group definitely for Enda Tracy, who loves to predict a draw. So so the two games this weekend, Arval Rovers and Ballinahinch, and Ballingarry and Shannon Rovers. Enda, Arval Rovers and Ballinahinch. Ballinahinch on 3 points and the Rovers on 1. So all teams have something to play for in this group.
Yeah, definitely do. And I probably predict 2 draws in these matches. I know. Arvale, probably it's been a tough baptism of fire for them at this level. I think we kind of said at the start of the championship that they'd have maybe a bit of momentum coming in after playing the junior final so late in the year. Look, it's been tough for them, and in fairness, it wasn't an easy group either. At the same time, 3 fairly seasoned teams, 2 of them very seasoned at this grade, and Ballingarry coming down from senior B, so it was always going to be tough for them. Probably be expecting Ballinahinch to do the business there.
Yeah, and then Ballingarry and Shannon Rovers then in the other group. Ballingarry have the top scorer from play in Dylan Walsh. He scored 2-9 from play, and they play Shannon Rovers, who are always a tough North team, as only we can expect.
Yeah, they are, but look, they're not in good form this year. Like I remember, I think I was saying the last podcast, they've been struggling to get wins all year in the North group championship / league, and I think they're a team that's probably deprived of maybe a bit of underage talent coming in and supplementing what's there already. You know, they've kind of been at this grade a long time now, and they haven't been going up or down. So probably won't be getting out of the group for me. I think Ballingarry, probably one of the favourites to win the intermediate. So I think they should continue their form and qualify with 5 points.
Yeah, so both those games go ahead on Sunday at 12 o'clock. So Arval Rovers and Ballinahinch, that's in Dundrum, and Ballingarry and Shannon Rovers, that goes ahead in Temple Tuohy. So just before we move off, the Dan Breen Seamus Arena in intermediate, we have our own prediction competition going ahead at the moment, thanks to Sean who was putting it together. But Owen Ryan from Care is topping the table. He got 13 predictions right in round 1 and 14 in round 2. He's on 27. Do you think he'll do any better this week, lads? We're probably about 50-55% correct in our predictions.
Well, he'll do better than you anyway, because the main.
Well, that wouldn't be hard, but there's nothing going right for anyone in Cavoy to you at the moment.
Propping up the table, Mike.
And there was 2 draws last week, and Enda picked none of them.
The draw specialist by Enda Tracy.
Christ. Did we say we're adding points for draws now? Did we?
No, 1 point.
There'll be no fucking stopping me now.
Just go to show, there was, I was kind of doing a talk to the scores there the other day, like, you know, and kind of like there's some games where we all picked the wrong winner, like it's crazy. You know, there was 4 or 5 games and one of them got the winner. That shows the championship how competitive it is, like, you know, we look at overall.
Yeah, like there's 24 games across the weekend for the first 2 weekends, and the highest score that anyone has got is 15. So
Mike?
That was Enda Tracy the last day, 15 out of 24. It's not a score I'd be bragging about now, Enda, to be honest.
He got 7 out of 8 in the Seamus Ryan, actually. So he did. He let him down. The Castle lads let him down, I think, was it?
Did he get 0 out of 8 in the Denry?
Yeah. Well, or Seamus Ryan the first day, wasn't it?
Or when you predict 8 draws.
Once I have a bit of form to go off, if I'm unstoppable, that's a penalty.
So, so Owen Ryan, who is our social media guy, he is top of the table on 27 points. Enda and is in second place on 26. Sean and photographer Marty are in joint third on 25. Padraig, the business head, he is on 25 points, and as is mandatory now, Cap Whiteman is propping up the table on 23 points. But it's all to play for going into the last round. So staying with hurling, lads, under 19, which has turned out, in my opinion, to be a great competition across the four divisions, is kind of coming to a head at the moment. The four divisional finals have been played. Kildangan won the North, Turles Sarsfields won the Mid, Kickhams won the West, and St. Mary's, who were the most recent winners, beat the Swan in the South final last Sunday morning. Last Saturday morning. But Sean, you had a very interesting game against Kildangan in the semi-final. I was following it on Twitter for the first 10 minutes and I thought you were going to be bet. And next thing, you win it by 34 or 5 points.
Oh, it was one of the strange kind of games I've been at. Kind of, we're 3-1 to pint down a couple minutes into the game. The ball didn't pass the halfway line. Kildangan were all over us. It was... We were like, where are we going to go? And then we got a few scores, got back into it. Before a wall break, we got a penalty and a goal. And then we just pulled away and won convincingly. And he goes a 30-something kind of swing in the end. But, you know, to be fair, it's kind of a learning point there. You can't afford to let in 3 goals in a couple minutes of the game and expect to win. I know we heard well to win it, but still, you have to kind of look at some of the negatives at the start of the game as well as the positives.
Yeah, so Paddy Creedon plays on that team, doesn't he? And he's up at the top.
He does, yeah.
And Dan Breen.
It's just get the ball to Paddy and go. They've exceptional talent. Darragh Stakelham is an exceptional talent at that level as well. And the players over the field, to be honest, at that crop. So a lot of them lads now are playing Senior B and Senior A, which is great to see. Over the years, you might see that as much kind of the town kind of clubs, but they're being integrated at the moment and it's great. So, and tonight then, St. Mary's playing Knockavilla and the other semi-final in Docknamore's Park on our lights, and that'll be a good affair, to be fair.
Yeah, Peter McGarry, who we mentioned earlier on, as playing well at midfield for their Seamus Ryan team, plays midfield. He scored 2-8, I think, against the Swan at the weekend in the final. So he's a serious talent. And then Kickhams, who they beat us actually in the West final, a 4 or 5 point hammering, I suppose, is what you could call it. They put up a great score, 222. But they have some good players all around the field. Stephen Brown plays centre back for them, and Jamie Duncan is there around the middle of the field, and they have Conor Horgan, who's Fergal's son. He plays wing back midfield. So they have good players. So that'll be a very interesting battle tonight. That's on in Dr. Morris, I think, isn't it?
I might go up and see if I'm passing by going for luck. But even in the mid championship under 19, Brackens are a puck ball away from beating ourselves. They could have been there against Kildangan the other day, and so it is a competitive grade. Fans 19, it's good to see the players look bigger than minor. It's a good step into senior. So kind of anyone's kind of judging that the 17-19 might work. What I've seen so far, it's working, to be honest.
Yeah, the 19, I suppose, a lot of people might have been wary about it, but I think it's worked very well, hasn't it? It's probably slotted in where what we would call minor under 18 used to be played on kind of the Wednesday nights there over the summer. And I don't think players have enjoyed it, haven't they?
Yeah, and there's a lot of players that I've seen play minor that have gone into senior status because of it in their own clubs. And, they're a bit older and a bit bigger, and they may have been during the first year of college instead of 6th year in school. And it's only a positive thing, isn't it, for sure. And it's keeping players hurling up that extra age, because the players come out of minor, you see the 21 might start at the end of the year. There's not a whole lot from there. If the junior team is beaten early year, they're kind of hanging around.
It has been quite a good competition. The under 17 and stuff has been played out now across the divisions. I think most divisions are down to the divisional finals. But I suppose showing the strength of hurling in Thurles. Both your 17 teams are into the A and the B final. The A team is not a surprise. They're a terrific team, but you must be very pleased to see that B team going in. I think they beat Mike Harkey, did they, last night in the semi final.
I think because of Curtin Hoo, was it?
Or maybe Curtin Hoo.
I think they're playing Drum now in the final. No,
that's
so
right, Drum in the final. Yeah.
Drum V, that'll be. We'll have to do it all to beat them. Like they've been on the A grade kind of 16 or last number of years. So it's great to see. Like we have the panel players there and they're training with the A's, and it's going to keep lads hurling in town for sure if they can get a win there. But over the years we've seen, I've played under 16 C against Clonakenny, and they've come a long way since then. You know, playing B mid finals now.
Yeah, split Thurles into three. I think is probably what people are going to be saying
They're saying that apparently there. I'm like, how the hell do you split a town like? Jesus Christ.
we didn't mention that they were the under 19, but Air Oak Sean Tracy's, they got into the final last night. They beat Grange Mochler in the semi final. So I don't know who they're playing in the who came out of the mid in the under 19 B, can you remember?
Not sure. We got bet by, not sure who it was now, Mike, to be honest.
Yeah. It'll come to us. I'll find it there now. It is Air Oak Tracy's are playing Holy Cross, actually. Holy Cross beat Ballinahinch Templederry actually last weekend. They put up a huge score. Holy Cross 327, Ballinahinch Templederry 214. So Holy Cross, who have done quite well, haven't they, in minor? They were in six or seven minor finals in a row.
Yeah, she does seven score.
Yeah, 327. So Air Oak Tracy's beat Grange Mochler 3-8-8, which wouldn't be a bad Grange Mochler side now. They would have quite a number of county players over the last number of years, so I'd say they wouldn't be bad. So yeah, Air Oak Tracy's and Holy Cross. So whenever that will be on, probably within the next 10 days. Sean, before we finish up, the inter-county scene doesn't seem to be too much to report there. There's no white smoke and selectors are coaching for Colin Bonner at the moment, anyway.
No, it's very quiet and. It's a good thing as well. It's kind of, they're taking time to pick lads and there's no rumours around like who the manager was. Haven't got one WhatsApp in the last 2 or 3 weeks, like, you know. Yeah. So it's good, like, let Bonner pick who he wants and get the proper lads in. What's the point of rushing now, like, where, you know. Yeah. And any, like, people are saying, oh, the selectors aren't going to matches, but if you're itching to be on the county setup, you're watching all these games and seeing the players around, you know who's there, like, you know, there's no two ways about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's a few rumours going around about the under-20s with Brendan Cummins. I think talks of Martin Maher and Shane Stapleton possibly going in as selectors. And obviously, as we mentioned, Fintan O'Connor is already in there as a coach. But, I mean, all will be revealed, I would imagine, over the next couple of weeks. I think they'll start to get those plans in place. Derry Egan, I don't know, did we talk about that? He's gone to Wexford, and I saw rumours that Cashel's Ryan Dwyer might be going in as manager of the Westmead senior hurlers, which would be a bit of a surprise. I haven't heard of Ryan being involved in coaching at any level, and now that he's back in Cashel, I doubt he's doing too much up in Dublin anyway. But that was a surprising one. I think Shane Stapleton of our game had that one. And it seems to be a straight shootout between Micheál Donoghue and Davy Fitz for the Galway job. What do you think will go on there?
There's so much money Galway will give Davy is what it is, isn't it? Really, to be honest. Like, it's a strange one. I just, like, Davy this stage, he's just, see me, it's just going around. Like, where are Galway at as well? Like, kind of, what's he going to get out of that Galway team? Like, even see, I saw a lot of club results. A lot of our clubs are gone way back, you know, that were the prime clubs back a couple of years ago. So it's hard to know where they are at the moment in the All-Ireland. Where do you rank yourself at the moment? Have been the top five?
Galway, actually, they were very poor this year. But I mean, I suppose maybe you have to ask what kind of an impact or lack of an impact Shane O'Neill had. And then, I mean, very, very soon after they went out of the championship, Joe Canning announced his retirement. And Joe's, well, he's only 31 or 32. I mean, he would have been very friendly with Davey going back to their LIT days, and I suppose they won an All-Ireland then with Micheál Donoghue. So I'm wondering if either of them come in, do we see Canning coming back into the Galway setup, or like they shouldn't be lacking for players considering what they've done at minor level over the last number of years. But I suppose it just comes down to development in that, doesn't it?
Yeah, but then the minor thing is this even, I know the players still have to go and win the games, but they're guaranteed the knockout game against a team that's won another fishing game, you know, but they're still winning these minor titles, you know, there's no two ways about it, but they want to have seen the fruits of these labours now coming in. Like last year didn't fire at all. It was against Dublin watching that match. Jeez, they were scandalous, you know, but we could say the same about a lot of county teams the last number of years. It's kind of been a strange setup with everything going on. And Limerick team just powering away from everyone.
Yeah, that's it. Limerick just powering away. Their club championship is going ahead at the moment. I've seen Nibirshig and Doon are straight into the semi-finals there. And those two teams provide probably the bulk. They provide a lot of players to that county team. So their clubs are obviously very strong.
Doon still won a county title, have they?
Doon have no county title. One day that we like to remind them of here.
Do we? Only over the border, sure.
Yeah, but Barry Murphy there is after Doon's cruciate there lately, which he'll be a big loss to them kind of when it comes down to the knockout stages.
Yeah, last year it appears to kind of may blew away a bit in the end, like, you know, but they're not, their day will come, they're not, they have the players, like, to be honest.
Yeah, and obviously Peter Casey is after doing his cruciate, and Mike Casey is only just on his way back from a cruciate injury, and Dowling is retired and stuff. So it appears he mightn't be, I think, one of the Boylans, Connor Boylan's missing, or Jerome, one of them is missing as well. So they mightn't be to the standard they were last year, but that'll be an interesting championship down the line. Sean, anything else on from you?
No, that's all report.
Very good. Enda had to drop off. His team and his battery died, but I imagine the dinner is on the table and he left us. But so
tis well for some. I'll be here looking into the fridge going up. I have no annoyance.
Very good. So look, that's all we have time for this week, folks. We will be back to next week where we'll hopefully do a review of the Junior A and B Hurling Championships with the divisions. Next weekend, we will have a review of, or a preview of round 3 of the Football Championship. Maybe we might see Cappa White move up the table. Maybe not. Until next time, Gibbard Orna Boo.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.